You know, in my opinion, credit cards are more controversial than they ought to be. I mean, on the one hand, you have people like Dave Ramsey, financial guru and angry grandpa, who are extremely against credit cards.
And the point is that if you quit using stupid credit cards, you will have money.
Oh, but I use credit cards to get my miles.
You actually think you're going to take on a multi-billion dollar company who studies your behavior more than you study your behavior and come out on the right end of this stick? That doesn't make you sophisticated. That makes you blatantly stupid.
And then you come off as prideful and arrogant about how you can handle your credit cards because you pay them off every month when 78% don't, and even those that do overspend, especially those of you with airline miles. It's the biggest scam in freaking history.
And then on the other hand, you have most millennial and Gen X financial influencers who love credit cards and getting credit card rewards and travel points and things like that. I am not opposed to credit cards. I have a lot of credit cards, but I'm smart with my credit strategy. I've never paid a dime of interest to credit card companies. I stick to a budget. I don't justify spending more than I would because, oh, you know, I'll get points. So I'm generally pro credit card insofar as they're used responsibly. But unfortunately, there's a big problem with financial literacy in the United States, and as much as half of the American population has never received a basic education on credit cards, how they work, and what the benefits and risks are for them as consumers. So for this video, I put together 7 myths I've heard about credit cards over the years that aren't actually true and that might end up moving you in the wrong direction. Hopefully by the end, you understand a little bit more about credit cards and how you can use them to achieve your financial goals. Also, before I get into these myths, I want to mention a couple credit cards that I really like and use personally. First is my Citi Double Cash card, which gives me 2% back on all purchases. That's 1% when I make a purchase and an additional 1% when I pay my bill. It has no annual fee and it currently offers a 0% APR for 18 months balance transfer option. The other card is my American Express Blue Cash Preferred. This one gives me 6% cash back on up to $6,000 in spending at U.S. supermarkets per year. This card is currently offering a $300 statement credit if you put at least $3,000 on the card in the first 6 months. Might sound like a lot, but it's actually about $500 a month. It does have an annual fee of $95 per year, but this annual fee is set to zero for the first year. Now, there is a no annual fee version of this card, and I will talk about that later in this video, so stay tuned for that. I do have affiliate links in the description below for the cards I mentioned in this video, so if you are interested in them, I'd appreciate it if you use my links below. It's a great way to support the channel. All right, now on to the credit card myths. All right, myth number one, credit cards always charge interest. Okay, the first point that I want to bring up is a belief that's surprisingly prevalent. I think a lot of us grow up learning about how bad credit cards are and how much money you'll lose if you have one. So one thing I've heard from that is the idea that you're going to be charged interest on your credit card purchases no matter what. Of course, interest is one of the main ways credit card companies make money, so it's good to be careful about carrying a balance and incurring additional charges. But the reality is that you won't have to pay any interest at all as long as you pay off any outstanding balances by your card's payment due date. In fact, the credit card company is legally obligated to give you some notice of your upcoming payments, so they can't just stay quiet about your bill and hope you forget about it. The law says that credit card companies need to give you access to your statement at least 21 days before the payment is due. To be clear, that's 21 calendar days, not 21 business days. So if you get your statement, for example, on the 5th of each month, then they have to give you at least until the 26th of that month to make that payment. And if you log into your credit card company's website or app, you should be able to see that information online. Most of the big providers make it super easy for you to do paperless billing. So if you'd rather pay on your computer or your phone, that should be easy enough for you. So if you put $1,000 on your credit card on the last cycle and you pay all $1,000 off by the due date, the credit card company is basically kind of giving you a mini loan for those purchases for free for up to 3 weeks. But if you only pay off, say, $500 and you leave the rest to carry over to the due date, then that remaining $500 is going to accumulate interest at credit cards' often sky-high interest rates. So yes, Credit card interest is something to worry about, and you can lose a lot of money if you let that balance grow unchecked. But if you only use your credit card to buy things that you have the cash to cover, then you won't have to worry about losing money on interest because you'll pay out the balance before it's due, and you won't be charged any interest at all. If you're having trouble making those payments at a particular time, maybe get paid on a certain date, and that doesn't exactly match up with your credit card payment schedule, you can actually ask your credit card company to change your due date. Now, they're not legally obligated to do so, but a lot of providers in good faith will let you make that adjustment as long as you don't keep trying to play games with them and move it back and forth. And you might be able to make more progress on your credit card debt if your payments are due at the right time and you can put more money toward your balance every month. Myth number two, carrying a balance will help your credit. Now, the second tip is related to the first one. As I said earlier, credit cards are one of the most convenient ways to improve your credit score, and there's a really popular myth: the best way to build credit with a credit card is to carry a balance from month to month. I mean, intuitively, it might make sense, right, that not putting any purchases on your credit card will prevent you from building your credit, since you're not really demonstrating that you can reliably pay off debt. But on the other hand, of course, carrying a balance is actually bad for your credit in most cases. And what you really want to do is increase your credit utilization without getting to the point where you're actually carrying a balance. Okay, that might sound a little bit confusing, kind of the terms I'm using. I just want to quickly explain the difference between credit utilization and carrying a credit card balance. Basically, when I say carrying a balance on your credit card, I'm referring to when you fail to pay off the balance on your statement in full by the payment due date, right? So back to the previous example, if you get a statement on the 5th of the month saying you have $1,000 in charges, right, but you pay those off before your due date on the 26th, you technically won't be carrying a balance. On the other hand, you'll still have credit card utilization since you did put charges on your card and they appeared on your statement at the end of the last cycle. For example, if your credit limit is $5,000, then $1,000 would work out to a 20% utilization even though you paid off your balance in full before the due date. Now, different people have different perspectives on the ideal credit utilization, but usually anything higher than 30% might be a problem. On the other hand, not using your credit card at all and having a 0% utilization, that's probably not that great either, but generally not as bad as overutilizing your credit. And this can be a little complicated because your credit utilization is calculated based on your balance at the end of the statement cycle. So if you put $5,000 on your card, but you pay it off before getting your statement, then you're going to end up with a 0% utilization for that month. Personally, I would recommend looking at your balance at least a few days before your statement ends. And that way, if you've charged more than 30% or so of your credit limit, then you can pay that off before the statement date in order to optimize your utilization and then pay off the rest of your balance before the payment due date. Myth number three, you should cancel any cards you're no longer using. Another thing I've heard from a lot of people is that they automatically cancel a credit card whenever they stop using it. So maybe you had an entry-level credit card, you built up your credit, and once you had a decent score, you applied for a card that offered maybe better rewards. And once you have had that card, then you probably don't have as much of a use for the old card anymore. So it's natural that you would think about canceling it and only using the new one. But keeping your old accounts active can help actually maximize your credit score. And in most cases, I don't think there's any benefit to closing them unless they have an annual fee or something like that that you'd have to think through. The main reason that canceling an old card can backfire is that the credit bureaus use the average age of your credit accounts to determine your overall credit score. Now, this isn't necessarily the key factor. Making sure you make payments on time is the most important factor, but the average age of your accounts is nevertheless a factor. So I'm not saying it's going to tank, right, your credit if you cancel a card, but it is still one of the elements used in the calculation of your credit score. FICO weights your average age of accounts by 15%. So 15% of your credit score is made up by this factor. So what goes into this factor? Well, the age of your oldest account, the age of your newest account, the average age of every account you currently have open, and how long it has been used since you used those accounts. So if you have a card that's, say, 10 years old, one that's 5 years old, and one that's 3 years old, your average age of accounts in this case would be 6 years. That's 10 plus 5 plus 3. Take that sum, divide by 3. That's your average, 6 years. But if you cancel that first card, then the average age of those accounts will drop from 6 years to 4 years, which is 5 plus 3. Take that sum and divide by 2, you get 4. And your oldest card will now be just 5 years old instead of 10. Again, that doesn't mean your credit score is going to drop by hundreds of points, but it could hurt you by 10, 20, 30 points, depending on the specifics and your numbers, and depending on where you are on the credit score spectrum. This could make a real difference in terms of getting the interest rate you want, the interest rates that are available to you when you apply for a new credit card or another form of credit. Myth number 4, credit card annual fees are never worth it. Now, I know annual fees can seem really excessive if you're comparing different credit cards, and I think most of us want to avoid those annual fees whenever possible. Of course, annual fees can be expensive, and you shouldn't just ignore them, but at the same time, paying even a pretty significant annual fee can be worth it, depending on the card you're looking at and how it compares to any other options you're considering. So, if you're choosing between two cards, and one of them has a $100 annual fee and one of them has no annual fee, instead of just automatically going with the free one, make sure to double check the details and see whether you might make up the fee over the course of an entire year. One really common example of this, right, is the American Express Blue Cash cards that I mentioned earlier in this video, right? I told you about my American Express Blue Cash Preferred card that I have right here. Gives you 6% back on up to $6,000 in purchases at U.S. supermarkets per year, and it comes with a $95 annual fee. Well, it has a sister card. I personally don't have this card, but it has a sister card, the American Express Blue Cash Everyday card, that does not have an annual fee, but only gives you 3% back on up to $6,000 of spending at U.S. supermarkets per year. And right now, its welcome offer is only $200 with at least $1,000 spend in the first 3 months, compared to the American Express Blue Cash Preferred, which I have, that offers a $300 welcome offer with at least $3,000 spend in purchases on the card in the first 6 months, right? Also, keep in mind, the preferred's $95 annual fee is zero for the first year. So sometimes it helps to spreadsheet this stuff out. Maybe I'll do a comparison of these two specific cards I mentioned in the future. If anybody would be interested in that or comparing other cards, let me know in the comments and I'll look at those. Myth number 5, you only need to make the minimum monthly payment. Okay, so like I said previously, you're going to get your monthly statement right after you use your credit card. And from there, you're going to have at least 21 days to pay off whatever balance you accumulated during that time. Your credit card company will set a monthly minimum payment depending on the card you have and your current balance. And that number represents the lowest amount you can pay while still avoiding fees and other additional charges. A lot of people see their statement, maybe they see a $100 minimum payment, and they think, okay, well, I guess I need to put $100 toward my credit card balance this month. Now, in some situations, that's going to be all you can do. It's not ideal, right? Because when you only make the minimum payment, you're going to let interest accumulate on the rest of your balance, unless, of course, you're in the middle of a 0% introductory APR period. So if you have a total of $2,500 in credit card debt at, say, 15% interest per year, and you only pay $100 off this month, the remaining $2,400 is going to grow at that interest rate. And with those numbers, paying off $2,500 at that interest rate, and only paying $100 per month, you're going to end up spending over $3,000 by the time that balance is paid off, which means that you will have paid more than $500 in interest. On the other hand, if you can bring that monthly payment up just from $100 to $200, then the total interest goes from more than $500 by the time you paid it off to just under $250. So if you just look at the monthly payment and compare it, you know, to paying the balance off or paying a little more off, yeah, sure, the latter seems more expensive. But in terms of the overall debt, it's much cheaper to make additional payments in order to minimize interest. Of course, the difference is going to be even more important for larger debts. It was only around $250 or $300 on a $2,500 balance, but it ends up being almost $2,000 when you look at a balance of $5,000. And the reason it goes up so dramatically is that the monthly interest accumulation is a lot greater on a $5,000 balance, which means that a higher percentage of your payments, if you're keeping the payment the same, is going toward interest, and it's going to take longer to make progress on the principal balance. So you should really look at the minimum payment as truly a bare minimum. rather than a recommended amount. Yes, if you can only make the minimum payment in some months, okay, fine, but you should really try to divert some extra money to those balances when you have the chance, especially when you're dealing with high interest debt like credit cards that's going to grow very quickly. Myth number six, travel cards are better than cash back cards across the board and for everybody. As I mentioned earlier, the relative value of a credit card depends on how you use it, right? So if you tend to spend a lot of money on travel, then a travel card is probably going to be, you know, good for you and suit your needs. With so many cards out there, it can be hard to find exactly what you're looking for, right? I've seen a lot of people, you know, they hear about a particular card, you know, often a travel card, and they apply for it and they get it without really understanding what the benefits are or who that card is tailored for. For example, the Chase Sapphire cards, pretty popular travel cards. Those are great for anyone who's a big spender in travel or dining and who travels a lot, particularly internationally, and especially with the Reserve, you should want to travel a lot. But they might not be worth the annual fee if your spending is mostly in different categories and most of your travel is domestic. Sometimes cashback cards are going to be more effective, and sometimes you can even get extra rewards by taking advantage of any promotional offers that the credit card provider is running. So I would say instead of just getting the first credit card you hear about, right, whether it's, you know, one that I mentioned or otherwise, make sure you do your research, right? Make sure you understand the benefits of, you know, the cards you're looking at compared to other cards to see if there's one that works best for your spending. Finally, myth number seven, you should never cancel a credit card. Okay, so I know one of the first myths I brought up was that you should cancel your old cards if you aren't using them anymore. But the last myth I want to bring up is basically the opposite, that it's always a bad thing to cancel your credit cards. I think I went over most of the downsides of canceling credit cards pretty well earlier in the video, but now I want to focus on some of the situations in which it might make sense to cancel a credit card, even considering the potential negatives. Now, personally, I think the most obvious reason to cancel a credit card is that you're paying an annual fee and you're no longer using that particular card. So if you, say, have a premium travel card with an annual fee of, you know, $400, $500, $600 a year, then it's really important to remember to cancel that card if you're not going to use it anymore. Or, this could be better, see if the credit card issuer would be willing to downgrade you to a no annual fee option. I actually recently did this just over American Express chat online with my Hilton Honors Aspire card. Did not take long at all. It was done entirely over chat with the customer support representative. I just said, hey, look, we're probably not going to be doing a lot of staying in hotels right now due to the pandemic. So I'd like to downgrade my Aspire card with its $450 annual fee to the no annual fee Hilton Honors card, at least for now. This kept my account history intact and did not affect my credit score like canceling the credit card outright would do. So in general, I would recommend reviewing your statements and rewards history every year, a few weeks before the card gets renewed or before the annual fee hits, so that you can crunch the numbers and make sure it's still saving you money. Now, another situation that I think is worth bringing up, it isn't necessarily going to apply to everyone, but some people do have trouble limiting their spending when they have access to credit cards. So if you know that's a trigger for you, it might just be better in the long run to take the credit score hit and cancel your cards and just take away that option completely. Again, it totally depends on the individual. Certain people can use credit cards responsibly with no problems, but it's important to recognize that if your cards are becoming more of a negative than a positive in your life, it might be time to cut them off. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching this video. I really do appreciate it. Please remember, if you have a second, check out the credit card links below in the description if you're interested in any of the cards I mentioned. That would really help the channel out. If you don't feel like doing that, at least give this video a big old thumbs up below, a nice little likey-likey down there. I would really appreciate that, and I will see you in the next video. Bye-bye.